Rivera d'Arts, Sireli, Radio Ungendirner, Amerikai Haikakan Hamagumari, Shapatakan Radio Jamin, Gürkin Khosapogi Motne Mihran Tumadjan. Այս երկրորդ կեսին մենք շատ բացարիք հյուր ունենք, ինչպես լսում էիք իմ հարցազրույցը Քրիս Հոկոկյանի հետ, հիմա պիտի խոսենք Armenian Artist Project վարչության անդամ Դենես Փարնագյանի հետ անգլերեն լեզվով։ Նախ եւ առաջ պիտի Դենեսի հակիրճ կենսագրությունը կարդամ նաեւ անգլերեն լեզվով։ Dear listeners of the Armenian Assembly Radio Hour, we are honored to have with us for the second half of our show Denis Parnagian, who, like Chris Hokokian, serves on the board of directors of the recently launched Armenian Artist Project. Denis hails, like Chris, from the San Joaquin Valley, and that's the Central Valley, of course, and very much involved in the agricultural industry, as many Armenian families have for several generations in the San Joaquin Valley. Denis grew up in Fowler, and he'll talk about his formative years in a minute. He is currently the president of Fowler Packing. He and his brothers Ken, Randy, and Philip have various management positions at Fowler Packing. He is among the second generation of Parnagians who are involved in the production of various fruits and the packaging of and distribution of various fruits. And we're delighted to hear that several third generation Parnagians are also involved in the family business and are continuing the wonderful tradition of growing and packaging and distributing wonderful fresh fruit all across the country. And so without delving too deeply into Denis's biography, I do want to point out something very important, because Denis wears a lot of hats. He's very much involved in countless boards in the San Joaquin Valley, from the California Table Grape Commission to the California Tree Fruit Agreement to the USDA Advisory Committee and several other trade associations. Denis is involved. He and his family are involved in various social and philanthropic endeavors. And what really, really is so inspiring is the fact that Denis and his family provide lunch and dinner to over 600 employees daily in two cafeterias with fresh and nutritious meals at no cost to the employees. That is just what a wonderful gesture that you do, Denis, and your family does to your employees.
Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, I mean, it's just we could certainly talk quite a bit about your work in the San Joaquin Valley. Of course, we're here today with more of a focus on the Armenian Artist Project. But our listeners would like to know, first and foremost, you know, what it was spending your formative years. How was that experience for you, spending your formative years in Fowler, in the San Joaquin Valley, in the bountiful San Joaquin Valley? Please shed some light on that, Denis.
I'm happy to, Miran. Thank you so much for having me on today. I'm honored to be here with you and your listeners today. I grew up in Fowler, California, which is a small agricultural community about 10 miles south of Fresno, right in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley. And Fowler, for those of folks who may not know about Fowler, which is probably a great many of you, Fowler, when I was first born, probably had 1,500 folks living in it. Then 20 years later, I think it doubled to about 3,000. But it was an idyllic area to grow up in, as far as I was concerned. The community is so small that basically you were everybody's child. Everybody knew where you were, what you were doing, and you knew that it would get back to your folks. There was never a hesitation about people calling one another to talk about, to tell your parents what you may or may not have been doing that day. So you watched yourself fairly closely, but we were able to, in those days, there were no cell phones in the 50s, and there were no helicopter parents to speak of. You know, we would, when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, we would get up and on the weekends or in the summers, we'd ride out to the farmland and play in the irrigation furrows and the canals and ditches, and we'd go swimming and ride horses, and it was a very diverse community. An awful lot of Armenians lived in Fowler at that time and still do today. A lot of Japanese, African Americans, a lot of Hispanics, and we all coexisted. And I think, I know that my best friend early on, probably when I was 5 years old, perhaps, was Japanese. I learned to speak some Japanese and probably count to 10 in Japanese before I could count 10 in English. And it was very strange. The older folks, the older Japanese folks, there were many in my community who spoke fluent Armenian, because in the late teens and 20s of the 20th century, their friends were Armenian children that actually spoke very little English. So during their friendship, the Japanese children learned Armenian, and that way they could communicate. And as they grew into their 50s, 60s, and 70s, they still spoke Armenian. And that is truly amazing. That was always strange, to go to the Japanese mechanic and he would speak to you in Armenian because he could. And it was almost like a native language for him. But it was a great place to grow up, Miron.
Truly idyllic from how you've described it, Dennis. Credit goes to your parents' generation, certainly, the blood, sweat, and tears that they put into starting their own businesses. And I believe that's fair to say that many of the businesses that exist today in the San Joaquin Valley that have reached greater heights, had it not been for your parents and grandparents' generations, it would have been tough. It would have been much tougher.
There's no question about that. Look, in my growing up, we were probably lower middle class. We lived in an 1,100 square foot, 2-bedroom house. My parents occupied 1 bedroom, and I and my 3 brothers lived in the other bedroom, and we were happy, and it was a nice life. We had a lot of friends. My father had a very, very small little shed. It was actually a shed. I don't think it was more than 4,000 or 5,000. Yeah, it was probably around 4,000 square feet at best. And he would just purchase small patches of peaches, nectarines, or plums and pack them. And at the end of the day, he would load them on a flatbed truck and drive 250 miles to Los Angeles, sell the fruit, and then drive back home early in the morning and start the process all over again. Eventually that grew until my brothers and I got out of college, and then it began to grow a little bit more. But it was a rather simple life. And I got married at 22, right out of college. And I recall that we were so busy trying to establish ourselves, save our money, that I told my then girlfriend, the fiance, I said, I really don't have the money. I'm trying to properties with options to buy. So I said, do you mind if we buy a trailer and we live in that? I don't think it'll be for long. And she said, no, that's fine. Well, we ended up living in that trailer for 10 years and having three three children in that trailer.
Wow. Yeah.
You know,
the sacrifices.
But I was young and it didn't matter, you know, and it was
sure.
I still fondly remember those days.
You know, Dennis, we could certainly talk at length about your business. I've got one more question before we head into the Armenian Artist Project, and that is, I think it's important for our listeners to hear what your family, the Parnagian family, what are one or two of the specialties in terms of fruit that you grow, package, and distribute? What are mm-hmm. you know, some of the more well known fruit items?
Yeah, Miron, we started. As my father did, we started for so many years that we started in 1950, and then it was basically peaches, plums, nectarines, apricots, a few pomegranates, and that continued on until about 1975, and then we began to handle more fresh table grapes. My father passed away in 1980, and at that point in time, I and my three younger brothers continued on. And we began to expand a bit. We built another facility, and we increased our acreage, and we added more table grapes. We acquired more growers. And now, today, we pack no fresh peaches, plums, nectarines, or apricots. We pull them all out, and we're very large in mandarins. We're founding members of the Cuties brand of mandarins.
Oh, sure. Very well known. Yes.
Right. We were also founding members, partners of the Halos brand with Stuart and Linda Resnick.
Also very well known, yes.
Right. And then last year, a year ago last July, we branched out and we ourselves started a brand called Peels, P-E-E-L-Z, which has been really well accepted. So our main commodities today were fairly large in mandarins. We do an awful lot of table grapes, fresh table grapes. We have almonds and pistachios. And then the next generation has diversified to a fairly good degree into commercial, industrial, multi-residential development. And so
fantastic.
And other members of the third generation are into other enterprises that are all under the umbrella of the family business.
That's wonderful. And again, dear listeners, as Dennis mentioned, the latest brand on the mandarins is Peels, right? P-E-E-L-Z?
Yes. Z.
Is that right?
Right. And
yeah.
Yes, and this season we'll be able to see them, at least those in California. We'll see them in Vaughn's and Ralph's. Costco is a huge customer. Walmart, Sam's Club. All the majors will be handling Peels brand.
Wonderful, so, wonderful. Look out for it, dear listeners. It's P-E-E-L-Z, the Peels brand. At least for our listeners in California who may hear this via broadcast or podcast. Dennis, let's jump into the Armenian Artist Project. First and foremost, tell us about your relationship with the founder and driving force behind AAP, Jim Muradic.
Well, Jim Muradic has become a very dear and close friend. I have known Jim for probably over 50 years. He and my cousin Jim Parnagian have been very close friends since grade school, probably since they were 5 years old, and probably shortly thereafter, when I was 10 or 11 or 12, I first met Jim. And I also met his older brother, Tommy. And as time went by, we continued to stay in touch. And we used to farm extensively in the Coachella Valley of California, which is the desert. area of California. And Jimmy and Tommy were there as well, farming table grapes, which is what we did. And so we were fairly close in the desert. Tommy was there full time, and Jimmy, aside from his main line of work, would come and help Tommy when he could. And we got very close. And then over the last few years, we got closer yet when he began going to Armenia. And I had never been to Armenia. And as he was talking to me about Armenia and what he experienced and the joy he felt, I couldn't wait to get there. And I knew that I needed to see it for myself. And so a year ago, last October, my wife and I and my brother Philip and my brother Randy and our wives, we went to Armenia. Thanks to Jim Wardick, really. And he gave us, he told us who was going to guide us around. And sure enough, we took his advice. We saw much of what Jim had seen. We experienced much of what he had seen, especially in the educational systems and the dire situation that some of these facilities were in. We saw the artwork, and I had the great pleasure of meeting Narene Kochar, who's the operations manager, and she is just a delight. She is a brilliant woman with such an honorable past and history. And she is, like I said, the operations manager, and she was able to give me some real insight into the project. So that when I came back, I was so motivated to help out in any way I could. And that's when Jim said, well, I'd love to have you on the board. And quite honestly, I was flattered and I was happy to do it. And that brings me to where we are today. Jim inspired me, frankly. Jim inspired me because it takes somebody with that kind of dedication and commitment to do and pursue something like this. It's not easy, Mehran. It takes a lot of time, effort, money. And Jim had it all there. And he had great people, talented people, working with him in Armenia and here in the United States, Chris being one of them. And certainly Narene, and there are others, Anna, Esperian, and, oh, gosh, there's just so many. It's hard to say, and a lot of volunteers. It was inspiring to me, and it still is. It still is.
So that, what a wonderful way to get involved in a charitable organization that's also got such a wonderful social impact aspect to it, but to see Armenia with your own eyes, to meet with the artist, to meet with Narene, the operations manager, who could tell you, directly that, this. You know, we've got wonderful artists, especially in the regions of Armenia, whose work is not yet resonating outside of the country, and it ought to be. So hats off to you, Dennis, for taking that leap and being inspired by your friend Jim Maradic and getting involved.
I would like to just say this. Listen, I've known Jim for a long time, and I know that. Had he won, it would have been much easier for him to just make a grand donation. That's easy. You write a check and it's over. The hard part is saying, no, I want to do something more than that. Writing the check is too easy. Developing something that's sustainable that will last for a long time and have a much greater impact, that takes a much greater effort. Jim has been working on this, I'm going to say, since 2016. And
that's right.
Not just casual working. I mean, this has been almost a full-time pursuit of his. It's a passionate project for him. And I'm just thrilled to see. It's just probably 2 weeks live. And I'm thrilled to see it online. And I would really encourage our listeners to just give the site a visit. I think they would be impressed with it.
And dear listeners, as we mentioned in the first half of the show, the website is www.armenianartistsproject.org, and that's artists in the plural form, A-R-T-I-S-T-S, project.org. Check it out. As Chris mentioned earlier, there's well over 1,000 works of art on this digital platform. And as Chris mentioned also, each artist has been vetted. Their works have been vetted and verified by three unnamed art connoisseurs in the United States. We've come to the end of the second half, Dennis. There's so much more that we certainly could talk about.
Fast, Miron.
It did, and I really like the fact that you were able to shed light on your personal friendship lasted for several decades with Jim Mrodek, with the founder and driving force behind the Armenian Artist Project. I personally salute you and Jim and Chris and fellow board members for the wonderful work you're doing, and we hope to hear more about AAP in the months ahead. Again, dear listeners, I've had the honor of speaking with Dennis Parnagian in the second half of our show. In the first half, spoke with Chris Hokokian. Both are leaders, board members of the Armenian Artist Project, a recent digital platform initiative founded by Jim Mrodek of Orange County, California. Thank you very much, Dennis, for your time,
and
hope to have you back on the show in a few months from now with perhaps an update.
My pleasure.
Wonderful. Dear listeners, that brings our show for this week to its culmination. We hope you're doing well and staying healthy, and we hope to have you back next week for another round of the Armenian Assembly of America Radio Hour.